much larger than our day-to-day, everyday associations and relationships and what we do on a day-to-day basis. It's so much larger than we are. You don't know the cost. You don't know my cost. I don't know your cost. Because we all have those alabaster boxes. And I don't know what you've experienced this morning, but I've been caught up in the glory of God from the beginning of this service on to the end, on to where we are right now. I'm caught up in what God has done and what God can do. What an awesome, awesome privilege it is to be a child of God. Awesome privilege. So I'm just so happy and bursting with joy to be in God's presence today. And I hope you've come expecting something. You know, God doesn't waste anything. Everything he exposes us to, he has a plan for it to develop us to become more and more like him. Salvation is his ultimate goal. And so everything that happens to us is towards that goal. And I just want to express, before I get started, my thanks to your pastor and his lovely wife who I've been friends with for quite some time. And praise God for quite some time, because it could have been the other way. But God has started this journey, this ministry journey with us. And you know, there's something about brotherhood and sisterhood where there's a love that flows that sometimes we don't even realize how important love and relationships are. And they're very important. And so I'm just happy to be here with my friends, the Stoddards, and your fine, first-rate women's ministry leader, Martha. She deserves everything, every praise that you can give to her. Because she takes women's ministry, she takes this ministry very, very seriously, as we all should take very seriously. And I hope all of you sitting here, I hope you have a ministry. I hope there's something that's near and dear and close to your heart. I'd like to wish all of my sisters a happy Mother's Day. What a calling that God has placed on our lives. And it doesn't matter whether you've been to the delivery room and you've delivered a human being. God still has called you to mother somebody and to be an influence on someone. So we celebrate our women today and all that God has done and all that he intends to do through us. I have a friend who's traveling with me, and you will hear more from her at the end of the sermon today. Did you come expecting God to do something? So have I, and I've already gotten a whole portion of what he's going to do, and I'm open now for him to use me, to his name's honor and glory. But we're here to worship, and as I said at the first service, worship is not spectator. Not spectator, it's a participatory activity that we give honor and glory to God. And so I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will touch and be with both of us. Let us pray. Lord, both your congregation and I, we come empty waiting for you to fill us up. Please, Father, don't disappoint us. Baptize us with your Spirit today. Someone has come today who needs to persevere, who needs to be determined, who needs to be bold for you. Let this be the beginning, Lord, we pray. We thank you for hearing and for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's good to be with you at the Church of the Oranges. But the theme that has been given is growing out of the world in which we live. To be bold and fearless women of God. That seems to all work together as far as I'm concerned. You can't help if you're in God and you know you've got God has your back and God has called you. You don't flinch. You don't second guess. You go forth boldly in Jesus' name. So to be bold and fearless women of God who are determined, who are persevering, that come what may, I'm going to do what it is that God wants me to do. There are going to be some biblical women that we want to talk about briefly, who've already given us an example of being bold and fearless women of God. But I have to remind you that we're at war. Our sister prayed this morning about, you know, the things that happen in our neighborhood. And it's amazing how the enemy has convinced us that the people who are closest to us are our enemy. Most crime that takes place and most fights that take place among people that know each other. Our family members. And when I think about the crime rate and something has happened to us where our sons and our daughters feel more comfortable shooting someone or killing someone that looks just like them. But that's the work of the enemy who understands that he's at war. We don't understand that we're at war, but the enemy knows that he's at war. And he's fighting for his ultimate survival, which we already know the end of the story. So we're at war. And the things that are happening about us puts us in an interesting position. I'm speaking today because it's Women's Day. Or Mother's Day. So I'm going to use women as my basis. 70% of black babies born are born to unwed mothers. We're at war. I'm not here to condemn anybody or to bring up anybody's old past. I just want to show you we're at war. God designed the family for a specific thing. And so understand that the enemy is going to use tactics to destroy the things that support us in the war. So 72% of black babies born are born to single parent households. And men, don't sit there looking sanctimonious because they were impregnated by somebody.
Yes.
Black women are the most unpartnered group of people in our nation, reflected in their low rate of marriage. Black, we're at war, which means that you have most of households, a lot of our household, African-American, black people, are led by women. More than 2 out of every 3 black women are unmarried. And most unmarried black women, a lot of them have children or do not have a committed partner. Depression, discouragement, that's what the crime rate is a result of. That's what the decay is a result of. Mm-hmm. People are unhappy. We have given up and in, and most of us just live from day to day because we're just existing. We get into a routine, we get into a rut, and we go nowhere. We just do the same old things every day. Nothing new, no joy, no anticipation of life. We've given up and given in. Unmarried black women are less economically secure than their married counterparts in terms of jobs, wealth, and wages. I'm trying to tell a story here. But look at this. The Seventh-day Adventist Church is mostly women. I want to bring it home now. It's mostly women. So within our churches, we've got women, but most of them are single women, unpartnered women. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has more members of color than any other race. That's what we're looking at. Now, it's another sermon at another time, but I have some real concerns about the fact that our church is mostly women, that Christianity tends to attract mostly women. I'm hoping that heaven doesn't reflect that. Because I want to see my sons and my husband and my brothers. I want to see them up there too, even though they may not be in church. But women, because we're 70%, God has given us a unique responsibility and a unique thing. And if the men aren't going after our sons, we've got to come up with ways in which we go after them. Because to whom much is given, much is required. No, life ain't easy. It's all about survival. We got to survive. We got to pay the rent. We got to make sure we make the car payment. We got to do this. We got to make sure we stay healthy. So we got to go to the gym. Got to take the walk in the morning. Warfare. But the Bible says it's not about the things that are around us. It's not about Donald Trump. It's not about Comey or the FBI. It's not about all of that. It's not about racism. We wrestle against not flesh and blood, but against principalities, rulers, and in the dark places. There are things going on above us, around us, in the spiritual world that has us in the predicament that we're in. And the only way you're going to be victorious over that is if you understand that you're in a spiritual fight. Romans 5, 3 through 5 in the NIV says, not only so, but we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, boldness, determination, So you know all of that. We go back to the warfare. We know all of that. Then God says, we're in war. Our kids are on drugs. People are shooting. We live in the inner city. We know and understand all of that, that we're just surviving. We're in warfare. And then God says, rejoice. God says, rejoice. He knows what he's doing. Rejoice in our sufferings because we know that the suffering produces perseverance. Now, perseverance, by its meaning, means that I'm doing something. I'm moving ahead with something. So my rejoicing in my suffering is motivating me to do something. That's why you can't be Christian and do nothing. Perseverance gives character, and character gives hope. That's why so many people are throwing their hands up in despair and committing suicide. They have no hope. But there's a progression here. Rejoice in your sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. My Lord. See, we have it all wrong. We think that when trials and tribulations come, that we should retreat, go hide somewhere, give up, throw in the towel. But in God's kingdom, it's just the opposite. When trials come, we become bold or more bold. We persevere harder. We move ahead harder. And guess what he promised? That hope would not disappoint us. We give up hope. Persevere. Be persistent. Be fully persuaded. It's getting through difficult times, not avoiding them at any cost. And part of the problem with Christianity today and the problem with us is that we're giving up. We're not getting through the difficult times. We're trying to avoid them. You got to be bold because your trials should cause you to persevere, not give up. If a trial came, a trial comes, we got to get to the point where we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I don't understand what you're doing, but thank you. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer. So the idea of persevering means that I pray more than I ever did before. And then I do something about it. The Bible says ask, and it's going to be given. Seek, and you're going to find it. Knock, and it will open unto you. But guess what? Those tense in the Greek means not you just ask one time and you move on. It says, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Some of us have had burdens on our hearts for our children, for our families. We're in warfare at our jobs. But we pray one time and we forget about it. We move on. The Bible says you keep at it. And that keeping at it is for you. That's to keep you focused. Because it's not about your time frame. It's about God's time frame. God doesn't deal in time. And that's the hardest thing for me. God doesn't deal in time. He deals in eternity. And one, you know, 1,000 years is one day for him. I'm going, oh, no. I got to wait that long? I know. But what does the scripture says? Faith, the substance of things hoped for. But it says that we have to believe that he is. And a rewarder of them that what? I had somebody tell me, well, you don't have to pray for things more than one time. God heard you the first time. The Bible says, diligently seek him. We have to take on the helmet of salvation and in prayer and supplication make our requests known to God based on the things that we're going through. And I want to show you some women in the Bible who taught us how to persevere, who taught us how to be bold, who taught us how to move on. And Hebrews chapter 11 has a whole list of by faith this person did this. It's a whole litany of people who were victorious. But women, we're there. Some of us are there, and in Hebrews chapter 12, they call it a cloud of witnesses. Yes. These people have witnessed what happens when we're bold, what happens when we persevere. Let's talk about Hagar. Yes. And I apologize about the, I guess it's working here, but not working there, but that's all right. Electronics is electronics. They do their thing. But Hagar, you know the story of Hagar. Hagar ended up having a baby for a man she did not choose to have a baby for. Somebody else chose that for her. Am I telling it right?
Yeah.
Abraham and Sarah got together and decided that she would bear Abraham's son. Then after all of that, some issues happened in the house and Sarah got mad after she designed the thing. And that's what tells us, women, when you pray for something, get out of God's way. He doesn't need you to help him bring it about. You move when he tells you to move. We get in there, Lord, do this, and then we start orchestrating and putting it together and all of that. No, you move when he tells you to move, but you don't have to go out there and fix it. Well, Sarah tried to fix it, and Abraham tried to fix it, and it caused some problems. But you know what I think happened? Hagar isn't exactly off the hook either. I think Hagar got in there and said, oh, girlfriend, I'm having his baby. You couldn't have his baby. I'm having his baby. And the competition was so great between the two of them, she ended up homeless. Her pride got her kicked out of the house. But even when we do foolish things, God does not leave us. And I'm going to repeat that again. Even when we do foolish things, God does not leave us. He probably stood there looking down on Abraham and Sarah saying, these foolish people are trying to mess in my stuff. But I'm not going to give up on them. And he didn't give up on Hagar.
Yeah.
Because Hagar ended up understanding that God hears and answers prayer.
Yeah.
And her son, Abraham's son, grew up to be a mighty nation. God promised her that. So he delivered on that promise. Second time, she had to leave the house. But this time, God says, don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of you. And he provided a place for her. It's the same with us, folk. He will provide. He'll take care of us. Then there's old Sister Leah. She's one of my favorite people. Leah the same way. She wasn't her design to be hooked up with Jacob. And what is significant, my sisters, about Leah is that someone else connived and planned and got her in it, and she wakes up to a man, and the Bible, you read it in the Bible, and you can feel the hurt if you're a woman, because the Bible says Jacob woke up, and then there was Leah. But what if you were Leah? And he woke up disappointed to see you. Some of us have been through that. And so here he goes. He works another 7 years. So that he gives him Rachel right away. Laban gives him Rachel right away, but he still had to work another 7 years for her, and he was happy to do that. But meanwhile, Leah's still married to him also. But Jacob preferred somebody else, and we've all been through that. Some of us women have never recovered because he loves somebody else. Hard thing for a woman, for anybody. But that's the life of Leah. And back in those times, she had no choice. But God, with all the foolishness, but God, he comes in and he blesses Leah. And she shows it by how she names her sons. Judah. Judah means praise. That's an example of praising God in your tribulations and your trials. We've got to learn to do that. That's where the joy of the Lord is my strength. That's the weapon you use when trials come. Joy. And the enemy has convinced us, no, you despair, you give up, you cry, you throw in the towel, which does nothing. But let me tell you something about Leah and Rachel. Rachel may have been the prettiest, according to some people, and she may have had all of this, but God, When Jacob left Laban to go to take his family, and he took both of his wives, Rachel died in childbirth. And guess what? Jacob buried her right there on the side of the road on the way. He didn't take her body with him. But guess what? Leah is buried with Jacob. She is considered the mother of the tribes because she never gave up. She was in a bad situation, but she did not give up. It was something that she could not control, but she didn't give up. She continued to love her husband, even though that love was not returned. We get all caught up in our unhappiness and the strife and everything that goes on around us. But there's something liberating in that, and I can speak to that. I've been through heartache, I've been through rejection, but I'm telling you, you hang in there. You hang in there. You hold on to the man that whose promises never fail you. And he's promised that it'll be better as a result. And if you hang on to that, it'll be better. See these people walking around with sour faces and I have a burden for my sisters who seem to be just existing in life. I ain't existing. I'm waiting for the next exciting challenge that God is going to give me. The next opportunity. We can have it here. God's kingdom begins here. It's not pie in the sky by and by. That's not what God offers us. And we talked about this woman this morning, this woman whose children, and all of us have wayward children. Lord, help us. Wayward children. She had a daughter who was demon possessed. We don't know how that manifested itself, but she was demon possessed. And some of our children are demon possessed. Drugs the demon. Some of the other things they do, demonic. This woman had a burden about her demonic children. So she went looking for Jesus. When was the last time you went looking for Jesus because of your children? She was persistent. And when she came up to Jesus, it was like Jesus ignored her. It's like he just turned his head. But there's a waiting period. Jesus doesn't respond to us right away. There's a waiting period, and that waiting period is for you. Because he hasn't answered that prayer yet. As long as there's life, there's hope. So give it some time. Give it some time. So anyway, she's there, and she's persistent with Jesus. Jesus ignores her. Then the disciple says, send her away. Three different incidents happened, and this woman stayed right there. I'm not going anywhere. And the last one, Jesus compared her to a dog. Some of us need a little humbling. That degree you have, wonderful. God gave it to you. But it's not everything. It's a tool. It's a tool in the furtherance of the kingdom. You know, I'll never forget when I passed the bar. Oh, when I graduated law school, I thought, ooh, something great was going to happen. I'm going to feel different. I'm, you know, going to be different or something. It never happened. I graduated. Well, after I passed the bar, then that's when I'm going to be all that. It didn't happen. Got my first job. Whatever I was looking for didn't come. Whatever special feeling. I'm Phyllis Pelote Edmonds, Esquire. And don't you forget it. Doesn't mean anything. Unless it's a tool used for the furtherance of the kingdom. And God quickly, without going into my own details, after I finished those degrees and all of that kind of stuff, God gave me three more children to use that money I thought I was going to use on myself. It ended up going to Oakwood and Pine Forge and all the rest of that. Never did get my palace or whatever I was looking for. It's a tool. And God wanted to make sure that I stayed where he wanted me to stay, within the confines of doing his will and doing his ministry. So he put the ministry in my house. Put it in my house. There's no separation between, well, this is my job, and this is my ministry for the church, and this is my home life. No, it's all one big ministry. It's all one big life of a Christian. So this woman persevered. She was desperate. She was bold. Jesus didn't respond. But you know why? Initially, he didn't respond. He was testing her. That's why you go back to the text that we were talking about before. It says, keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking. Yes. Ellen White says that there are prayers that God is waiting to answer for you, but they go unanswered because we never really asked. We asked with our mouth and then we went on to something else. Bold. Much he wants to do with us. Persevere. Move on with what God has given you to do. Be persistent for an answer. The woman with the issue of blood. 12 years. And we give up on the first try. 12 years. Bold. Went into that crowd and said, listen, if I may not be tall enough, my arms may not be long enough, but I'm going to get down on the ground. Some things are not at the shoulder. Some things that you need from God is not at his shoulder. It's not at his waist. It's not at his knees. Some things you've got to get on the ground to get. That's being persistent. Some of us are so highfalutin. Oh, my parents were, I'm a fourth generation Seventh-day Adventist. My uncle is a pastor down in so-so-so. I'm not getting on the dirty ground to try to get Jesus to heal me. She had to get on the ground. The hem of his garment, not the collar. That's desperation. That's boldness. 12 long years. What's stopping you from being bold and persistent? I know women, I'm one, and I'm a woman that's in a male-predominated occupation. And it worries me sometimes that men perceive me to be domineering, bossy, and all of that because I work in an occupation where sometimes you have to exhibit those characteristics because your client wants you to win. Act like you're a winner. But some women are very resistant to being bold and persistent because they're concerned about what men will think. I'm telling the truth. In things of God, in things that God has called you to do, that's when you can be bold and persistent. Now, let's set the record straight. I believe in men as leaders. As a matter of fact, I don't think men you lead enough. And I'm going to say this to you. No woman should stop you from taking on and leading and playing the role that God has given you men. No woman. Lead. Part of the problem with our world today is because Satan has attacked you men and trying to strip you of leadership. Here's one black woman that wants you to lead.
Amen.
Lead. And even if you're married to somebody like me, who has to lead at work, We don't want to do that when we get home. We want to submit when we get there. You're not, and women, if you try to lead and take over and do all of that, you're not happy anyway. I count not myself, Paul said, to have apprehended. I haven't made it. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I don't care how much we're in the end time and Jesus is about to come. That is not an excuse for us to give up. It's not an excuse. It's just a condition. Yes, the world is wicked. Yes, the world is this. Yes, the world is that. But that doesn't mean we give up. That means we stay in the fight till the end. But it says, I press toward the goal. Press is energy, persistence, boldness. The reasons you should keep going, some of us say, why should I keep going? Everything is this, that, and the other. Everything is wrong. Keep going because you woke up this morning. You opened your eyes. You heard something with your ears. You spoke. You walked. You touched. And many of us have stopped living a long time ago. And you know, the older I get, the more I want to live life to the fullest. I want everything God has for me. That's one of the reasons I became an attorney late in life. You know why? Because I didn't want to get to be this age that I am now and say, well, I wanted to be an attorney, but no excuse. I want to live God's life for me to the fullest. Excuses won't do. Not going to do it. You got to press on. Pain, I don't care if you have pain in your body. We all, that comes with the territory. Keep getting up. Move on. You laughed. It does good like a medicine. I try to find something to laugh about every day. When I go to court and I'm fighting people all the time, I want to come out of there and find me a good laugh. Some of you don't laugh enough.
Yes, Lord.
Does good like a medicine. Yes. You thought your brain is working. You loved. Love, folk. There's something beautiful about love. It motivates you. It spurs you on. Love. Don't be afraid to love. My byline is I love love. And all that comes with it. Nothing wrong with it. God made us to love. Because he's love. So find somebody to love. Love. You have freedom. The promises are sure, Ellen White says. You let go of the arm of the Lord. What? You let go of the arm of the Lord. What? Too soon. Press. Be persistent. Stay at it. Press your petitions to the throne and hold on by strong faith, even when people think you're crazy. Press, hold on. God has promised that he will provide. Because you have kept my command to persevere, to stay in it, to be bold, he says, I will also keep you from the hour of trial. Because you stayed at it. I'll keep the trials from you. Persevere in your pain. Persevere through turbulent times. Persevere when your bank account, the bank wish you'd go someplace else with that account because you don't keep nothing in it. Persevere. Persevere for your pain. A new way of life is coming. Persevere. 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 Keep at it. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Because you got your eyes fixed solidly on Jesus. Perseverance is a way through, not a way out. I cannot guarantee you that once this trial ends or this challenge ends, another one won't begin. I was telling the others this morning, we just buried my oldest sister down in Georgia about a week and a half ago. And me, while we were anticipating what was going to happen with her, my other brother was in the hospital in surgery. Because the enemy's not playing anymore. He'll bring you two big challenges all in one span of a few moments. It used to be one at a time. Now he says, forget that. So it's a way through. But God says, here are the patience of the saints. That patience means perseverance of the saints. We grab a hold to the commandments of God part and the faith of Jesus, but what about the patience, the perseverance? Yes. So I say, press on. Yes. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You're not standing because you don't have that armor on. You're not strong because you're not perseverance. Like Jacob, don't let him go. And he's not still on the cross. If he was still on the cross, he couldn't do for us. But he went back to heaven to prepare a place for us. He went back to prepare a place for us. For those who persevere, for those who pray and don't give up, for those who by faith keep moving, for those who live grace, and then give some grace. We're under the grace of Jesus, but sometimes as Christians we can be, we don't gonna give nobody a break. You know what grace means? God gave you a break. God gave you a break. Trials are hard, but God provides. He'll give you the strength that you need to make it through. God provides whatever it is that you need. God provides.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Every other voice, it is a lie. God provides. God provides in ways I can't explain and can't deny. The little that I have, He multiplies. Just when I feel He won't show up on time, God provides. He'll come through when the clouds of doubt rain down on you and test everything you thought you knew. Now you finally see what God can do for you. So tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide. God provides. It's hard to say when there's no food to eat, or what you feel seems all that life will be. And will this be another year of misery for me? Just what I see, and my feelings can't control my destiny. See, God, I only want what you believe for me. So tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide. He will provide. Before your eyes, He will
provide.
Whatever you need, He will provide. So tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need. Watch God provide.
There are some of you, you've given up. And you're not using the gifts that God has given to you. This work should be finished. We should be home by now. But it's because we haven't been bold. We've given excuse. When God has already provided. This day has to make a difference in your life. So after all I've said, what have you resolved? I'm not talking about the person sitting next to you or the man down the street or the person that's not here. I'm talking about you. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What is God calling you to? Persevere. Be bold. That doesn't mean going around fighting. inviting everybody. That means moving ahead as the Lord leads you. Some of you have been resisting things that God has called you to. You've been resisting for your own reasons, not God's reasons. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And I always go back to the time I was teaching church school. I cannot draw. I can't draw stick people. But I had to teach my students how to draw. So I gave forth the principles. And my students were good art students. But I couldn't afford to say, Lord, I ain't teaching no art because I can't. Higher than the highest human thought can reach. His thoughts are not your thoughts. God is calling some of you to do things you don't think you can do. Yeah. We're the ones that do all this assessments and all of this kind of stuff. You put your willing heart where God, with God, He will accomplish great things in you. He will do it. Never in my biggest imagination did I see a little poor girl from Savannah, Georgia, growing up and representing the mayor of the city of Baltimore. Never imagined it. But God. But I didn't even want the job. I don't want it. So what is He calling you to? It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be that notable. But what is He calling you to? That you have your own foolish reasons that you're not doing. I know I'm past the time, but somebody here, God wants to do great things through you, and you've been resisting. And I am now, on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ruler of the universe, appealing to each and every one of you to stand forth and say, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing. And I don't care how old you are. You still got breath and life in you? He's not waking us up every morning so we can do what we want to do. He's not waking us up for our own good, for whatever. You know what? The one thing about Tabitha, when she died, Jesus brought her back because she left work undone. Why would He bring you back? My God. So my sisters, to my sisters first, I appeal to you. What's God called you to do? There's some other stuff out there. I'm looking forward to what they call in humanity retirement. But God doesn't. There's no retirement in the Bible. That's a man-made thing. But I'm looking forward to making a change in my life in the next year or so. But you know what that means? That means moving from one ministry to another. That's what it means. So my sisters, I'm appealing to you first, because what did I say? 70% of the Adventist church are women. Are you going to make a, if you make a difference, the church will change, women, my sisters, it will change. So I'm standing here saying, Lord, I'm willing. Use me. Any sister going to join me? Just stand if you're going to join me. I'm willing to see the possibilities of what you're going to do with me. And I'm not going to give up tomorrow, today, when I leave here. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to be persistent. The Spirit will give you whatever it is He has for you, what He's leading you to. Make a difference in the oranges. Make a difference. Let the devil feel your presence for God. All right, my brothers, we can't do it by ourselves. Are you going to help us out? Are you going to encourage us on? And are you going to fulfill the responsibilities that God has given you? I'm committed.
Hallelujah.
Are you committed? If you're committed, I'm going to ask my pastor to come and pray over this commitment. Over this ordination is what it is. This ordination to the gospel ministry. And then, of course, he can extend to open the doors of the church. Because that's what we're looking forward to. He will soon return for his daughters and his sons. Who persevered, Pastor?
Let us pray. Great God and Father, we praise your name for this challenging message today. Jesus. It requires true introspection to see where we are. God, truth be told, many of us have underperformed. And if you were not a merciful boss, you would have fired us a long time ago.
Have mercy, Jesus.
We have been negligent. Came in late, left early every day.
Lord, have mercy.
But for the mercy and grace of God. Jesus. Thank you for calling us out today. And reminding us of the high calling to which we have been summoned. God, here are our hands, our feet. Our ears, our eyes, here are our lips, our mouths. Use them for your glory.
Yes, Jesus.
Consecrate us now to thy service, Lord.
Yes.
By the power of grace divine. And may it be that everything we do, wherever we may do it, may we understand it all must go back to one thing, living for the glory of God. Being light wherever we are, being salt wherever we are, being men and women that make an impact for the kingdom. Thank you for bringing your woman servant all the way from Maryland to put us back in alignment with you. Men and women called out and called up to service. Now, while our heads are still bowed, our eyes are still closed, I got to give somebody a chance today who just wants to say, Lord, here I am.
Yes.
I give myself away. I give my life to you. I want you to use me for your glory. If you want to make a decision for Christ today, I want you to do it in one or two ways. Just raise your hand where you are right now. If you want to make a decision for Christ today, to give him the lordship of your life, to give him the keys to your castle, to say, Lord, take it. Take my life, Lord. Here I am. Wherever you are right now, you want to give the Lord your life, just raise your hand where you are. Raise it high. Raise it quickly. We want to see you. We want to see you, man, woman, boy, girl. God bless you. God bless you, sis. God bless you. Somebody else, I see you, young fellas, young boys. I see the young boys on my left side. God bless you. Anybody who just want to walk down front, you want us to cover you in this final part of the prayer, slip out of the aisle, come down front right now. Come down quickly. I want to pray a blessing over your life. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. God bless you. 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 Hallelujah. God bless you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, God bless you. So you can use me. God bless you. Come, young man. Come, my brother, my sister. To leave today, even if you feel a little timid, you don't want to walk down front, take this communication card, put your name on it, information on it, your desire. You want us to pray for you. You want us to come study the Word of God with you. You want baptism. You want to be a part of this church, be a part of what God is doing here at the Church of the Oranges. Fill out this information. Turn it in during the offering time, and we will show enough get back to you in Jesus' name. And now, God, we cover these who have come. We thank you for their decision. We thank you for their fortitude. We thank you for the Holy Spirit convicting them and bringing them to the realization that we need you, God. We need you to be the master of our lives, to be in full control. Thank you. Convicting them under the unction of the Holy Spirit for speaking to every heart today. May your covering rest upon everyone who's come down front. Seal them with your anointing. Bless them with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. By Christ Jesus our Lord, we pray. Let every saint of God declare amen and amen and amen. Before you move, this is what I want you to do. This is Brother Hutchinson right here. We want to get your information to follow Brother Hutchinson to the room. He wants to cover you in prayer. We want to get your information that we might know to minister to you. Please go with Brother Hutchinson right now. God bless you. Hallelujah.
But God. Just to let you know that there are three methods available for us to return our tithes and offering. The first method is in the offering plate. The second is online by accessing our website. And the third, for those of you who may not have funds with you today, we do have access to the ATM machine, so you can go to the office